Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 90. Episode 90. 10 episodes away from 100. Why am I talking like an old black man from the old days? I remember when you start off as episode 1, back in 1873, when podcasting was done without any corner recording devices. Oh my God, what am I doing? Oh, what am I doing here? Anyway, I'm checking my chair here. I thought my chair was breaking and moved it. There's a weird click. You know when you hear a weird click sometimes? What am I doing? I hear a click. Okay, what's happening, folks? It occurred to me, you know, I've been calling this, I'm coming up on 2 years in just a week or two, 2 years of doing this podcast. And it occurs to me the name of the podcast, Al Berman Live from a Studio Apartment in North Hollywood, California. Well, it's kind of deceptive because the only part that's live is when I'm recording it. Why would I call it live? I've been deceiving you people. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. So what's happening is I am in the process of changing everything. The whole website, the files, my ability. Right now, not yet, but pretty soon, I will be on every device known to man. I'll be at least accessible on every device known to man or woman, okay? Let's not get the gender thing mixed up here. And in the process of that, I am planning to change the name of the podcast. And it's going to be the same podcast as far as the same kind of format. Nothing else is changing. It's just going to be me telling stories about my life in the world here. And at some point, I'm going to do some occasional interviews with very select people that I want to at some point interview the doctor who did my hips. And I also want to interview this actor who I connected with on Facebook, who was like a childhood idol of mine, and he was a kid actor, and he got out of acting a long time ago, and we've connected on Facebook, and I mean, I wanted to be this guy, and he lives in Texas somewhere. In Texas, I haven't even mentioned it to him yet, so I don't even know if he would even do it, but I would like to. And I've had other people ask me, Al. One guy came up to me and said, Al, please let me be a guest on your podcast. And I go, have you listened to my podcast at all? Do you notice that there hasn't been any guests? I mean, he's claimed to have listened to it. I get the feeling he listened to like an excerpt. So things are going to change. Things are going to change around here. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm in the process of learning a new way of doing things. And you know what? The one constant in the universe is change, and for some reason, a lot of times us humans, we don't like change. That's the one thing that happens all the time is change, but we are living in this world of illusion, thinking everything's the same. Right? Okay. Enough philosophy. Okay, what's been going on with me? Well, Al, why are you talking like this? I'll tell you why. Because right now, I'm recording this here on a Sunday, like I normally do. And I feel like I think I'm detoxing already from sugar. I've had one entire month where I allowed myself some sugar every day. And some days it was a lot of sugar and some days it wasn't that much. And I finally think I got a hold of it today. I've got a plan. I'm going back to 6 days on, which means 6 days of clean, no sugar eating, or very little sugar. I mean, if it's going to be sugar, it might be something that's in the food already, but not like a pastry or an ice cream, okay? And then one day, on my cheat days, and I'm telling you this to be accountable to you people out there in cyberspace, My cheat days were becoming like a friggin' Roman orgies here. And I think it would be best if I remained mindful on my cheat days and said, okay, you know, it's my cheat day, but I don't need to do it to the point of, you know, feeling ill. And like last night, I went a little bit crazy because I knew that I was going to, you know, lay off it for, you know, 6 days. And to tell you the truth, I feel terrible. I'm not terrible. Because I don't feel terrible, but I feel something, like you could just feel that sugar thing is just not good. So I haven't had that much to eat yet today, but I slept late, I ate some stuff. I know how to do this, folks. I have to have a certain amount of food every couple few hours, keep the blood sugar kind of stable, you know, and some protein stuff. I know what to do, okay? All right, so I'm just letting you know that I've just been out of control. And I know when I'm out of control because, well, here's one sign I'm out of control is that no matter how much sugar stuff I have at home, if I'm out in the world, I'm out in a supermarket or whatever, then there's always something I don't have. And I go, I don't have that. Let me get some of that. You know, and it's never ending. It's never ending. And I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and I said, talking about how last week I went to get a hot chocolate at 7-Eleven at night. And I go, you know what? If I'm at 7-Eleven, and usually I don't go to, if I'm clean, eating clean, and everything's fine, I don't go to 7-Eleven. There's hardly any reason to go. But especially if I'm at 7-Eleven, and the sun is not shining, and I don't mean it's a cloudy day, I mean, we're in the PM, folks. We're at the nighttime. Then I'm in a bad place. I'm in a bad place. If you see me in a 7-Eleven, you should call the rehab center. No, just kidding. So I got a hot chocolate there last week. Anyway, I think I talked about that last week. And then I was thinking about, I buy a lot of food that's already kind of prepared, like cooked. Like I get some chicken. That's already been cooked. And I heard, I was at Ralph's supermarket, and one of the consumers, because that's what they are, that's what we are, we're consumers, consuming, never stopping the consumption. I just lost my train of thought because I was thinking about a donut. No, I'm just kidding. I was at Ralph's, and so I was talking to one of the customers waiting. We're both at the hot food bar, and they told this guy told me this was a couple weeks ago. Or so he said, you know, if you go to the fish department, they will cook the fish for you. And I goes, really? No kidding? That's amazing. I never even heard of that. So I got excited because I thought, well, I could pick some fish out. And they could cook it for me, and then I go into this more clean way of eating. And I went to the fish department this week, and I asked them about it. And it turns out the only kind of cooking they do in the fish department, you want to take a guess? Deep fried. It kind of takes away the purpose of cooking and cleaning, keeping your food clean. So I said, okay, that's great. You know, I want to give you my fish, take something that's, well, it used to be kind of healthy. Nowadays with the pollution and Fukushima, who knows what's in these fish. Yeah. So, okay. All right. Just going to bring this up. Before I started recording the podcast today, I took out some bills I got to pay, and I just opened one. I was planning on opening more than one. I'm going to do the rest later. But I opened up my LADWP, which is my Department of Water and Power. Electricity, in other words. And, well, guess what? You know, my bill was $174 for a two-month period. And I was, like, really confused. So I called up the LADWP, and spoke to this girl named Kara, this woman. And she was very nice, and she was trying to explain to me, but what she made kind of a fatal mistake in a way with me at first, because she said to me, try to wrap your head around this, because it took me a while to wrap my head around this. She said, well, the guy didn't actually come out and read the meter this time. I go, come again? Say what? She goes, the guy didn't come out and read the meter. He just, they do that every, like maybe once a year because they get backed up or something. I never heard of anything like this. Well, we don't know. What they do? They estimate whatever your bill was a year ago. They charge you that plus maybe a dollar. And I said, well, what if somebody was away? Like, say I would have been in Europe for the summer, you know, and I never used any electricity. I never used any electricity. And she said that the next time he read the meter, he would then adjust. It would be adjusted because, see, the meter just tells you how much electricity you're using anyway. And then my friend Dwayne said, yeah, but you still got to pay the bill now. So if you didn't use it, you know, what if you, it's just like one of those, it's just an example of where we don't have any control over this. I don't understand it. The bill is something that I feel like you need to go to a special school to learn how to read. And, you know, and then I started talking to her, and I was making her laugh a little bit. And then I said to her at one point, I said, you know, I bet this call is being recorded. And she goes, oh, yeah, it is. And I go, why are they recording it? You know, I mean, I know it's for quality assurance, but really, I mean, are they going to, like, as soon as you get off the phone, they're going to whisk this tape into some kind of, you know, think tank room and analyze, boy, this guy's a wacky person. And I started railing on the corporations and the DWP. I go, you know, electricity is, you know, it's from nature. Why do we have to pay for it anyway? She goes, well, that's true, but how do you get it delivered? And I said, that's a good point. But I would bet you that we don't have to pay this much money to keep delivering it. I bet you somebody's making a lot of money. It's just my thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's all just fair and it's a level playing field and we're all just living in a wonderful world. God, that was weird. That was the sugar from last night talking. And then afterwards, at one point she goes, yeah, I'm going to get flagged by my supervisor. And I go, what does that mean? Is the supervisor going to throw down a flag? Was this a football game? And she goes, no, you know, like if you're on the phone too long and you're having too much fun, they'll kind of politely wave and tell you to get off. And like, especially if there's other calls waiting, which I can understand, there's other people waiting. But hey, I got stuff to say here, folks. I'm sorry to tell you, I got stuff to say. So so she said, so that was that. And then she said to me. Oh, she said to me, I am spacing out a lot, so please bear with me. I think it's going to get better as time goes on. She said right before we hung up, thank you for calling DWP. And I said to her, who else would I call? It's your bill. What am I going to call AT&T and say, listen, AT&T, I just got a very big electric bill, and I want to know what this is about. No, you call where you're supposed to, right? So I told her I'm not that smart, but I'm pretty smart in that area. Like knowing if it's the DWP and I have a question about my bill, I need to call the DWP. AWP. Speaking of corporations, I was talking to the Bank of America this week. Somebody at the Bank of America. Who was I talking? I forget. I called for something, and Oh, I know. There was, like, I didn't understand something in my account. It was worded weird. Worded weird. So, weird phrase. Worded weird. And I said, so I called up. I go, I don't really understand this. And she explained that it was a normal thing that I usually did understand, but there was some glitch in the system. They're going to correct it. And I said, oh, okay. I just wanted to know what it was. And then she apologized. And I told her she didn't. I said to her, I was messing with her. I said, you didn't really apologize enough. I need more of an apology. And she offered to send a letter of apology. And I said, that's fine, but I want one on a daily basis. You know, and she was like laughing. And I said, you know, why is it that you're apologizing? You didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. Who did something wrong? She said, the system. The system did something wrong. It had a glitch. Okay. Well, maybe the system should apologize, or maybe maybe we should just not worry about all this faux fake courtesy. Because it's all BS. You know, B of A, they don't care. They don't really. You think they're? Oh yeah, we really apologize for the inconvenience, sir. We're so sorry about what happened. They just want their people in the front line, the drone people, to apologize. You do a, and they'll get in trouble probably if they don't apologize. You better apologize, or your job is on the line. I feel that sugar leaving my body. Leaving it, baby. Leaving it. So, you know, I'm being stalked. I think I've talked about this before. I'm being stalked by LinkedIn. I get emails on my regular email, my Yahoo email, from LinkedIn, telling me that so-and-so wants to connect with me on LinkedIn. I don't understand. I don't have a LinkedIn account that I know of. I never signed up for them. Yet they keep after me and after me and after me, that I feel like eventually I'm going to break down and I'm going to join LinkedIn. Like, it feels like the only way to get them to stop, well, they wouldn't stop because then I would be part of it and they would just tell me, oh, so-and-so now really wants to connect with you, and don't tell us you don't belong on LinkedIn because you're signed up. It's relentless. It's just like Twitter. And I'm going to get with a guy who's going to, this one guy I know told me he knows how to figure Twitter out and how to work it. I'm going to get with him and figure that out. At least listen to him. See if he has anything that makes any sense to me. But I get emails too, like, you know, so-and-so has tweets for you. You're like, you know, so-and-so, they had when where so-and-so retweeted a photo of somebody I never heard of. Somebody I don't really know retweeted a photo from somebody I never heard of. And it's like, why is that newsworthy to me? It's I don't really want to know about that stuff. So I have mixed feelings about Twitter, but I'm thinking, you know, that I do have kind of a business kind of mind and some capacity, and some kind of, and so I'm thinking I can use it in some marketing way, but I don't know. It's pretty crowded in Twitter. You been on the Twitter highway lately? Woo, pretty red. Red lines all over, baby. So I'm talking to this neighbor of mine. She does stand-up comedy, and so she's standing outside my apartment talking to me, and she told me she had a show, and then all of a sudden this guy, David, he's a little socially awkward, and then he comes up and he just starts talking to her. He's done this before, where he just, like, you know, barges in on the conversation. Oh, you had a show? Was it good? And I go, hey, David, don't worry about you know interrupting my conversation. Don't use the phrase, excuse me, just come right in, you know, don't, just act as if there is no boundary between us. And, I make him laugh anyway. He's actually a pretty nice guy, but he is a little socially awkward. And I relate to, because I've done stuff like that, but I don't really do stuff like that anymore, or that much. Sometimes maybe I do, I could be accused of something like that. But not really, you know? And then I was talking to this other guy who is visiting my neighbor Angel. Now, Angel has this, there's a coffee, Angel's a poet, spoken word artist. And he's got a coffee house that he has a night he runs. And he's offered to let me perform there. I'm actually scheduled to perform there in December as a featured act. Everybody else is on open mic, so you can see this is quite a career move for me. I'm the only one booked at this open mic. And I get like 20 minutes, and it's cool, so I'm looking forward to that. And in the meantime, I haven't gone there yet, but he said I could even show up, and he put me right up. He's very, very kind of him. And so he hangs out around with this one guy who I don't know very well, but I know of him. He used to date a friend of mine, and we are friends on Facebook, even though I don't really chat with him. I think I hid him at some point because he was one of those kind of people that posted every minute, so my news feed was just jammed up with his, you know, inane, is that the right word, posts. And so, inane, I like that word, inane. Are you inane? You got some inanity over there? So, he had told me at one point that he was a fan or enjoyed my stand-up comedy. He must have seen something online. I don't think he's ever come see me live. And I was like, okay, great. So I saw him with Angel, and I said, hey, by the way, I'm performing at Angel's Room in December. And he goes, oh! He goes, well, you want to, tell Angel to send me, what did he say? Something like, send me an invite. So I said, well, I mean, you're best friends with him, don't you? I just told you, you know, I'm telling you I'm going to be there. Do I have to, do more work now? I mean, I personally don't care if you come. I mean, I'd like to have somebody there who likes me. But if you're going to be like, if I'm telling you, I mean, if you would say to me, hey, you know, send me a reminder, I guess I could do that. But I'm not really going to promote this gig anyway. It was just a casual conversation. It was just like, I'm playing your best friend's room. So if you would like to go, and you really do like me, then talk to him. Talk to him, because he's in charge of the show. Okay? Okay. All right. So I'm over at Goucher's the other day, and I'm staring at the ice cream, something I won't be doing for the next few days now. I am so through with, I'm so over the sugar thing, believe me. I can't even tell you how over it I am. I'm disgusted with it. Disgusted with the sugar thing. Anyway, I was staring at the ice cream, you know, mesmerized, hypnotized. And this Filipino girl that works at Gouger's, kind of heavyset girl, kind of cute. And she's a checker. So the ice cream is near the check stands. You know, not that far. And she's just standing there. She didn't have any customers. And she goes, Al, you don't need that. And I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, wow, she's actually, like, trying to control my ice cream eating or my ice cream buying because I wasn't going to eat it there. But I was like, I would, you know, in the past I would have been insulted. Like, how dare you even say that to me? But now I thought it was funny. I want to say to her, hey, you know, I always thought that she kind of liked me a little bit. I thought, well, hey, why don't I get like a, you know, some ice cream, you come over and we can eat some together. You know, we can have an ice cream party, you and me. What do you think? I don't know. Then I was over at, over at Whole Foods. And, you know, I was looking at chips. Again, something I won't be buying for a while. You know, once I get off, you know, I'm very diligent, and I'm going to be very, careful with the fruit, because fruit has a lot of sugar. I know it's different sugars, but somebody like me, you got to lower the fruit intake, at least in the beginning. So, but I'm good with protein and some vegetables and stuff like that. So I go, I'm over there the other day, and I'm trying to think about maybe some chips to get, and there's a kid that works there, a kid, he's like 22, 23, nice guy. And I said to him, hey, what do you think, man? Are these chips good? And he goes, well, yeah, these are good, but these other ones are good. And these are good over here. And he's like telling me, he goes, well, we're going to get those chips. Then you got to get some hummus, you know, to go with it, you know. I go, oh, really? He goes, oh, yeah, it's great. And I go, okay. And so I go over to the hummus, and it's like $5 for a container of hummus, like $4 for the chip. Like, do I want to spend $9 on this? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I work hard for my money, man. Do I need to spend $9 on this, on a snacky poo that I'm just sort of whimsically thinking about? And I said, you know what? I'm just going to pass on this right now. And I handed him the chips. I go, hey, would you mind just putting them back for me? He goes, no, I don't. And as he walked away, he turned around and said something to me. And I realized that he was blazing on weed. And I go, dude, you're high. And he got all like, he kind of laughed nervously and got paranoid. And I went up to him. I go, dude, I'm taking snack advice from a guy that's got the munchies at a Whole Foods. Now, how crazy is that? And so, but today no one will get me. I'm going to go over to Whole Foods in a minute. And I'm going to get some stuff. Okay? Okay? All right, that's it. Wow. Not bad. Not a bad timeline on my timeline on my podcast. I was going to say broadcast. My broadcast, my podcast. So, all right, it's exciting. Soon I'm going to have, my website's not going to be a lot different. I mean, it's just going to be pretty basically the same. It's just a couple pages are going to be separated, and I'm going to have archived my old podcast, and then I'm going to have a brand new name for this podcast, and hopefully have no more worries about getting into the iTunes store, which I don't even know if it means anything anymore, but I think it still does. It seems like people still are in it. They still go to the iTunes store, so I'm still going to do it, okay? So thank you so much for listening, anybody and everybody who's listened, and until next time, next week, this is Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.